What's up, Fanatics? It's time for another edition of the Cyclone Fanatic Podcast. I'm Jared Stansberry, as always, joined by my good friend, Rob Indeed. Gray. It's the seniors. What up, dude?
Oh, not much. How are you doing, pal?
I'm good. I'm ready for the Sweet 16, a Sweet 16 edition of the seniors.
Absolutely. And you're going to go to Chicago with Chris, which mm-hmm. is marvelous. I'm thrilled for you.
You're going to get to sit back and drink some beers.
I'll be in Ankeny, our palatial estate, Camden Drive Court, that area.
There you go. You guys need to think about getting a court in your backyard. You got a lot of yard.
I thought about it because our front yard slopes down, mm-hmm. so we can't put it there. Mm-hmm. But then again, we've got very great scenery in the backyard, wooded area. Do we really want to mar the scene with the, you know, concrete slab and then the hoop? But might have to do it. We'll see how much the kids are into hooping it up. You know, my daughter's a big volleyball person right now.
Well, heck, you could probably put a volleyball court out there then. Just put a net up right up on your concrete. Yeah,
to my great dismay, my son all of a sudden has taken a liking to soccer.
Soccer?
Or football. We've got a net back there.
Oh, okay.
For that. Yeah, as long as he wants to be active, though, I mean, heck. I want him. He's got a hoop, though. He's sprouting up.
There you go.
He's sprouting up.
If you do want to get that concrete slab put in, I'm sure our friends over at Performance Concrete and Polishing could hook you up with something really nice.
Absolutely. And not only would it be nice and functional, but it would be pretty as heck, too.
Yeah, definitely be easy to clean. You know, mm-hmm. get you anything you want. You know, anybody wants
the birds concrete work. To have a field day on it. Just, you know, pop right off of there.
Yeah. You can get anything from stained, polished, concrete floors, artwork and design, logos, engraving and sandblasting patterns, all types of coating. I'm sure they could hook you up with some lines for your basketball court. Yeah. You can check them out at 11220 Aurora Avenue in Urbandale. Give them a call at 515-202-6706 or check them out at www.performanceconcretepolishing.com on the internet.
Love the internet.
Do you?
Yeah.
I would hope so, since it pays your salary.
Yes, but the internet's a marvelous place either way.
Twitter has been quite fun this over the past several days.
Yeah, it's kind of fun, but then when you see when it's the bitter end for some fan bases, you see the worst elements crawl out a little bit.
It's not the bitter end for the Iowa State Cyclones, though.
Not even close.
What do you think about their matchup with Virginia?
I think it's a brutal matchup.
Do you?
I
think it's going to be fun, dude.
I think it's going to be a good game. As long as Iowa State is making shots like it has been in the last couple games, mm-hmm. which Virginia makes it very hard for teams to do, you know, they've certainly got as good a shot as anybody to move past them. But what strikes me about Virginia is not only are they elite defensively, but they're elite numbers-wise in terms of how they shoot the ball mm-hmm. offensively, even though they're one of the slowest-paced teams. You know, they take all that time, and yet they still get good looks at the basket and make them. And they're a good free throw shooting team. So you look up and down, you know, their stat lines, and you say there's not a weakness. There are sort of keys to getting by their defense, but obviously not a lot of teams have been able to do that.
Well, and I think that's been kind of the knock on Virginia the last couple of years, is that they are so good defensively, but they're not good offensively. Mm-hmm. And now finally they've got that team that is good offensively. Yep. You know, with guys like Malcolm Brogdon.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, that guy, he's scary.
He's a great all-around player.
Yeah, he's going to be a stud in the NBA.
Oh, just and he's their best defender.
Uh-huh.
So a night of almost
best
19
defender
points
in the
a
ACC.
Game. Yeah, and almost 19 points a game. He still manages to dish off, I think, about 3 assists. I mean, what does the guy not do?
Mm-hmm.
And they've got so many nice players. The London... Perantes, is that how you pronounce his last name? I don't know if he's fully Spanish.
Something
Perantes.
Like that.
Get a little Spanish in there for C-Dub. Shooting about 48% from 3, I think.
Yeah.
So they've got shooters. They're defensive-minded because that's what's drilled into them all the time. It's look, any one is a really tough man. You know, North Carolina, big problems. Kansas, big problems, although Iowa State plays great against them frequently. So, you know, tough mountain to climb, tough hill to climb, but There's no reason the Cyclones can't do it, particularly as long as they keep defending at the level that they're defending and continue dropping in the threes like Matt Thomas and Abdel Nader and George Niang and Monte have been doing.
I think they're going to do it, dude.
You do?
I just got a feeling.
It seems like the perfect setup. It never does it happen where Iowa State gets the upsets in front of them.
Right.
And they get the upsets. And frequently some of those teams like Little Rock, who played great in that comeback from 14 down against Purdue, they tried to do the same thing against Iowa State, and they just didn't have enough. They didn't have enough, and the Cyclones dominated that game, as they should. In Chicago, the United Center, the place where Fred went.
Yeah.
The fact that that can be the stage to the Final Four. And then you look at the possible Elite Eight matchup of Syracuse or...
Gonzaga.
Yeah, not that...
Dude.
If Gonzaga's anything to sneeze at. Syracuse, I'm still amazed that they're doing it. In fact, I'm dismayed that they're doing it, because it comes in a season where, by a lot of objective measures, they shouldn't have gotten in. Now, then you can say, well, they're in the Sweet 16, so they should. That's not the point. There are NIT teams mm-hmm. that could make a Sweet 16 run. There are. So that's not the point I'm making. But the fact that Boeheim got himself suspended... this 9 games.
Yeah.
And then that's factored in, apparently. I mean, it just, there's a bad taste in my mouth with the orange. I usually love oranges, by the way. Not the ones they have on display, though, at Dallin Fieldhouse.
Oh, yes. I was thinking that whoever Iowa State, if they win on Friday, whoever they play in the Sweet Six or in the Elite Eight, that's going to be so much fun. Gonzaga, for yeah. Mark Few's first opportunity to mm-hmm. go to the Final Four. Of all of the good teams that they've had, this one would be the one that would go to the freaking Final Four.
And how about validation for great offenses, too?
Right.
If the Cyclones get past Virginia, Gonzaga's great offense, the knock on everyone. We've talked about Wilcher, how he, you know, olays every, you know, the Matador defense or mm-hmm. whatever. Great offenses are kind of having a field day in this tournament.
Dude.
So far.
I think Adam Morrison might be... he might be an assistant or something for Gonzaga.
Oh, really?
I don't know that for sure, though.
I thought he would be a good pro.
You did?
I did.
Ugh. What?
He was such an elite offensive player.
Yeah.
Where was he drafted?
Like number 3?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's like the video coordinator. That's so cool. Yeah. Adam Morrison's the best, dude. Back when in 2006, I wanted to be him so bad.
Oh, he could do no wrong in college, in the college game.
And then I think it'd be interesting if Iowa State played Syracuse. Like, yeah, you mentioned Boeheim getting suspended. But that for of all the years for them to be back in contention to be the Final Four, they're number one seed and they get bounced in the first weekend.
Yeah.
You know, of all the weekends, they're finally back in the Elite Eight, and it's this team that shouldn't have probably even made the tournament.
Yeah, it's insane. I mean, it just goes to show you've got enough talent there, and I don't think anybody argued that Syracuse isn't a talented mm-hmm. team. They are, but they underperformed throughout the year, and not only when Boeheim was suspended. So, you know, kudos to them for making it. You know, I can say all I want about how I don't think they should have been in the field, but nonetheless, you know, they're winning the games. You know, so that's all that matters.
The UNI Panthers. I don't even know.
I still know a number of people kind of around that program, and I feel horrible for them.
Yeah.
I mean, the things that had to go wrong, and I saw many people made some comparisons to the Iowa State, K-State football game in terms of how many things had to go wrong. Not the stage, not the take those and separate them. You know, how important the game was, quote unquote. But just how many things had to go wrong in precisely the right way for the other team. Mm-hmm. And in rapid succession, boom, 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 everything. I mean, not only the turnover after turnover, but the made shot after made shot. And in just enough time, what an awful way to miss out on a first Sweet 16 trip since 2010. It's kind of the antithesis of what happened when they knocked off Kansas with Ali.
Mm-hmm.
And boy, I feel for those people. But, you know, credit A&M. They made all those plays. You know, there was that, I still can't believe that foul call on Jesperson, who's desperately trying to get out of the way. And if anything, maybe the midsection's brushed, mm-hmm. like literally barely touching. mean, that kind of made it possible. But it's all part of the drama. And what a great finish. I mean, a great overtime period, and then A&M was able to seal it off in the second.
I thought that shot by Jesperson might go in.
I know. Everyone was breaking up on Twitter, though. He could have gotten to the three-point line and got a shot off, but it's just like, well, worked before. I'm good at this. And I'd imagine he is in practice, where guys practice those shots a lot.
But. Were you covering UNI when they went to Sweet 16?
I was not. I was mostly UNI football guy, but I did do, you know, a number of UNI games. Mm. So I've just been around the program quite a bit. And Jacobson, you know, who can dislike that guy. I mean, there's no question how respected he is.
Right.
In coaching circles, and a guy that in the community is you know, revered and rightly so, and you know, sticks there, likes the Cedar Valley. It's just you know, it's hard for me to dislike them, even though they've given the Cyclones fits a number of times.
I turned the game off last night. I was getting ready to leave, and there was like 30 seconds left. I was like, okay, game's over.
So you'd seen the first or two little, yeah. It's like, oh, okay, but still.
Flipped it off. I was like, all right, yeah, I mean, there's no way. Mm-hmm. This game's over, you know?
Yep.
And then I get back on my Twitter, and it's like, oh, my God, everybody's freaking out.
Yeah.
What is happening? They're going overtime. What? And then awfulness.
Totally unreal, because, again, A&M misses one of those shots after one of those turnovers. You know, Wes Washburn, tremendous career. I mean, we saw what he did against Iowa State and against so many other big-time teams. North Carolina gets trapped in that corner. He just sort of heaves it straight up in the air towards the Panthers' end of the court. A&M's not going to get that shot off. I mean, there's so many what-ifs. But, you know, that's what the tournament's about. And Lord knows, the Cyclones have been on the receiving end of some of those, and over the years even kind of delivered some. Not that type of thing, because nothing touches that. Nothing in the tournament or really any game I've ever seen touches that. You know, what were they down, 12, 44 seconds left?
Yeah.
It left me completely speechless.
Would you say Iowa State was like the team of the first weekend, except for maybe Villanova? Villanova was the team that impressed me the most. But I would say Iowa State was probably one of the up there, too.
Yeah, they did. I still – Kansas looks so good.
Yeah.
Now, you know, they knew what they were getting, and, you know, they kind of let UConn back in a little bit. But the way they rolled on them was a little bit like Villanova rolled on a pretty good Iowa team, you know, just flat-out embarrassed them. But UConn got back in that game. But I'd put Iowa State up with those guys. Oklahoma was a little bit wobbly, like I thought they might be against Bakersfield, but pulled away to win by 14 or whatever in that game. And they looked, you know, hit the clutch shots, you know, flip the switch when they had to in round two. So a lot of teams looking good. But the Cyclones, just watching them play and the way that they played, and when teams crept back in, they did stretch it back out, and those are good, solid mid-major teams. Definitely one of the better showings, and definitely a good reason why you seem to be ready to make the big upset pick for Friday night.
I watched most of every game over the first weekend. They were one of the teams I was most impressed with.
Just how they ran things and how they responded to things.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, and just the way that they have five guys on the floor at one time that can score. I haven't seen many other teams that are capable of that.
Yeah.
Not even Oklahoma and Kansas are capable of that.
Well, and not even Virginia.
Yeah.
I mean, they've got some nice shot blocker pieces that either come off the bench or start or rebound a little bit. But
well, and that's what I think is going to make it so hard for them to play a team like Virginia or a Syracuse or a Gonzaga. Gonzaga hasn't played anybody that's got five guys that can score.
No. St. Mary's would be the closest, but St. Mary's doesn't have the athleticism and the.
But you think about Kansas and Oklahoma and the teams that were beating Iowa State, they've played these guys so many times that they already know what these guys are going to do.
Yep.
Whereas Virginia, you know, they've probably watched Iowa State, but the book isn't out on these guys for Virginia.
Yeah.
The book isn't out on these guys for Syracuse. You know, I'd love to see Iowa State play against Syracuse's zone because I think they would absolutely shred it.
Yeah, I think so too, particularly this Syracuse team. I mean, it's all, I mean, the possibilities are endless.
Yeah.
And as long as you, I mean, this would be a monumental win because of how good Virginia is, but as is.
But I don't even feel like they, like, they're not the Kentucky Wildcats from last year.
No. And know? As we see those teams, but the fact that they're so sound fundamentally in all aspects is more impressive than me, to me than a team of one and done guys who will dazzle you with their athleticism and seem to beat everyone, beat them like a drum, boom, they're destined, they're going to win it all, whoops.
But know. I still wouldn't even, I would say, I'd pick last year's Wisconsin team over this one too. Probably even Duke as well.
Well, it's...
I don't think that, like, I think that they're, I think Villanova's better than Virginia is.
Yeah?
That's my opinion.
Okay. Well, I guess I'll slightly disagree. I think a lot of those teams can go into the mixer a little bit, but I don't.
That's just my opinion, though.
Yeah, and I mean, this is perfectly the Wisconsin model, and of course, Tony Bennett's dad was there and elsewhere, Washington State and everything else, and his philosophies are very much informed by his dad's, and see the kind of results he's getting. First at Washington State, I think he got them to the Sweet 16 for the first time in, it was decades.
When they had Clay Thompson.
Yeah, and then translating it to Virginia, where they'd gone into the ACC, you know, every now and then they were okay, but never anywhere near those Samson teams of the past. And now they've become an elite team again. I'm not trying to poo-poo Iowa State's chances. I think they've got really good chances. But we've seen games where if Iowa State struggles hitting shots, you know, things can unravel in a hurry. And they've been so good at shot making and spacing and ball movement and everything in the first two, facing this kind of defense. You know, if they can overcome that, then they absolutely can make a run to the national championship, in my opinion.
I just feel like...
You just don't think Virginia's that good, it sounds like.
Look, I mean... They lost to some not very good teams, but I mean Iowa State lost to some not very good teams too.
Yeah, but all their losses are all but one of their losses 4 points or less.
Yeah,
and the one that's more is seven. And that way, they're sort of similar to Iowa State, just with fewer losses, in a league with six teams in the Sweet 16.
Mm-hmm.
But you're right. I mean, there were some wins they had too. I think a Wake Forest game was like they won by two. I mean those, and I think all their losses were on the road or neutral. North Carolina got them by.
And I think you're discounting the number of Iowa State fans that are going to be there as
well.
Well,
that's
to Virginia
a huge,
fans.
That's a huge point as well. Didn't help in Kansas City against Oklahoma, but...
that's different, though.
How is it different?
Because, how is it... What?
In terms of the crowd...
There's going to be more Oklahoma... I think there would have been more Oklahoma fans in Kansas City than there will be Virginia fans in Chicago.
Yeah, but I mean... There weren't very many.
And
just
and
as we saw when
Virginia
Oklahoma
doesn't
played
have Buddy
Oklahoma
Hield.
City.
Virginia doesn't have Buddy Hield.
No, they don't, but
Malcolm
know,
Brogdon's not
going
to score 45 points.
Well, we might not have to. I love your point about the crowd, though, because that's going to be fantastic. Every Cyclone fan that can get there
right.
revel in that because it's just going to be such a special environment. A, not in the Sweet 16 that often. B, it's United Center, close, Chicago, wonderful city. Brad, you know, the players are going to go and watch a Bulls game on Wednesday. I mean, that atmosphere is going to be fantastic. Lifelong memories for Cyclones fans, win or lose. And I give them a good shot to win, too. I just don't think I like their chances quite as much as you do.
I'm not guaranteeing a win.
I'm not saying that either.
You were just talking them up like they were, like Virginia was so good. I don't think they're as good as you were talking them up to be.
Well, that's our fundamental difference. But I don't think it's a huge gulf. I think you think they're really good, and I think they're elite. And there's no reason Iowa State crushed an elite Kansas team by 13 at Hilton.
Right.
So, I mean, Iowa State's capable of beating elite teams, not only beating elite teams, but beating them convincingly.
And I think that this is when, you know, we've talked all year about Iowa State's got one of the best starting fives in the nation. Villanova's got one of the best starting fives in the nation.
Mm-hmm.
We talk about depth all the time.
Yeah.
Depth doesn't matter in the NCAA tournament. Mm-hmm. I've decided that over the last 4 days.
I'm with you. Look at the teams with the greatest depth.
Right.
West Virginia. I mean, they finally got the wrong crew. That is the crew that enforced the rules that mm-hmm. the NCAA, rules changes the NCAA instituted, which knocked them out. But a lot of teams with a lot of depth, they were falling apart because there are just too many combinations to try to recover. You know, different junctures of games, and Iowa's a somewhat deep team, mm-hmm. and they had no answer once Villanova was so good. I mean, they looked like the best team in the country for a good stretch of that game.
And that's what I'm saying. I mean, you think about these teams that have these really, really good starting fives, and you don't have to go eight deep in mm-hmm. this tournament. And I think that Iowa State's starting five is going to be – I think they can match up with anybody. I really do, because I would say maybe Villanova, maybe Oklahoma has as good a starting five as they do.
Yeah, yeah. That's a great point. And particularly...
like, if you're going to say... this is obviously completely hypothetical, but if we're going to say our best five versus your best five on the playground to 20, you know, I'm probably going to take Iowa State over a lot of different teams.
Oh, no, I'd agree with that. And what's impressed me the most is... look, Matt Thomas has been great, but he's been showing that throughout mm-hmm. the season. He's just sort of, putting punctuation, an exclamation mark or whatever on all of that. Abdel Nader has been consistently good, which is, not every game is he putting up 19 points, grabbing a lot of boards and everything, but it's been happening more often versus mm-hmm. one game on, one game off, or one game on, three games off. And McKay, the re-engaged McKay has been... hugely important as well. And to see Monte settling back, you know, it was starting to look pretty iffy with the shoulder and the way he was talking and everything. And he's been magnificent too. And we know what George is going to do, which is, a heroic effort every time. So, starting five-wise, it would be hard to pick against him. That's for sure.
I just got a good feeling.
I've got a fairly good feeling too. We're not that separated on this. There are elements of what Virginia does that scared me, particularly on the defensive end. Mm-hmm. And if you miss a few shots early, and they're able to get out, which they'll do. I mean, if it's there, and you're down somewhat significantly, you know, maybe the palms get a little sweaty. Maybe somebody presses. Maybe somebody drives the baseline at an ill-advised time into a defender. I mean. That's the only thing I'm concerned about. If they don't struggle and then let the struggle get in their head a little bit and get down by a significant margin, I like their chances quite a lot to get through.
It's just like, you know, that feeling in your gut, you just feel like,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
Seth Davis has a lot of those feelings.
Well, like, I think about when they made the tournament and they made the Sweet 16 the last time. I didn't even watch the game. I didn't think they were going to win. I just had this feeling. I was like, they're not going to win. I don't even want to watch it. I've still never watched that game.
Oh, the UConn game?
Yeah. I've still never watched that game.
And what an incredible game to cover, because Dustin Hogue was possessed. He was going to carry that team, put him on his back with George out. And UConn was so good.
Yeah.
The problem was Brima, who neutralized Edgem. Edgem couldn't drive and finish. Kane had a rough game. I think really struggled at the line. But Hogue was so good. And then Naz had him, I think, like locked up what looked like a jump, but a kid called a foul on him. It's still a two-possession game, manageable. Mm-hmm. It was a kind of a superhuman effort by the Cyclones. But you're right, going into North Carolina after George broke his foot and being in that locker room and how everything just kind of, you know, became like, okay, we're somewhat celebrating. We know George is banged up. But, oh, he's out. Goes from semi-celebratory to almost awake. Situation. I wasn't sure about North Carolina, and they did a lot of, huge things in that game to pull that one out against a solid North Carolina team. So I get what you were thinking about that UConn game, because I was kind of thinking the same thing from the rafters up mm-hmm. there in Madison Square Garden.
It's kind of crazy that before the season we talked about how it was going to be Oklahoma, Kansas, and Iowa State.
Mm.
We're going to be the top three.
Yeah.
And now here they are.
Here they are. Finally all came around.
Yeah. It's like maybe not during the regular season, but at the end of the day, the best teams in the country, you know, and stacked up against the other best teams in the country, they probably were the three best.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. West Virginia fooled me for a while.
Yeah, but, I picked West Virginia to go the freaking Elite Eight.
I thought the pattern had been determined that they were not going to get called for 45, 50 fouls, and then all of a sudden... Now, to be fair, as I said before, a return to form. I mean, they shouldn't have gotten away with what they got away with at times in the Big 12. But that's a really good basketball team.
Mm-hmm.
But as we see, I mean, how good was Michigan State? Middle Tennessee State played out of its mind. And I remember I was going through their schedule and looking at teams that they beat. That was like probably five times better than they've ever played in a game.
Middle Tennessee State.
Yeah, not even close. The way they hit shots, the way they held on, because normally a team like Michigan State, even if they're terrible for a while, would go on something like a 27-3 run against a team that is that outclassed. And
definitely,
Michigan State totally outclassed that team in terms of talent and how good a coach Tom Izzo, particularly in March. So that game is emblematic of how crazy this tournament has been, like we all expected. Maybe not in this precise way by any means. Couldn't have projected a lot of things that happened. But, to be right there playing well, Iowa State, you can't feel even one iota bad about that.
We get to go talk to some football coaches tomorrow.
Yeah, how about that?
I think Alex Golish and Lou Ianni, mm-hmm, right?
Yep.
Then there's Pro Day. Are you going to check out Pro Day?
Yeah, I'm going to check it out. Particularly like a Dale Pearson, Quentin Bundridge. I know the Richardsons are going to be there. The two Sams.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if there are any draft choices.
Yeah.
There, but there are certainly some guys that would be in kind of a, pretty good free agent standing, who could stick with teams. Plus, Pro Day is always a delight, as you know. You've gone before.
I've never gone before.
You haven't?
No. I heard a rumor. He's going to hate me for saying this, but I heard a rumor that Tommy Burch said he will run his 40-yard dash.
He's going to finally do it.
At Pro Day. I feel like he had said that on multiple occasions.
He's been putting it off for like a year or a year
and
a half.
Yeah. I think he's going to.
I wonder who's going to time it.
We should. We should Periscope it.
Yeah, absolutely.
We're going to get it. We're going to get a Howard Cosell style, Battle of the Network
Stars
commentary.
Have a couple guys hold up
you.
The dummies, too, to yeah. knock him off a little bit as he runs at such a blistering pace.
What is it that he said on, weren't we watching that one day?
Which one?
We were watching Battle of the Network Stars.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I forced you to watch that. You have to admit, it was reasonably
entertaining. Dude, it's pretty funny, yeah.
It's hilarious. And if you grew up knowing some of those shows and those people, it's funny just looking at them because of how different they look, right?
Uh-huh.
But when you actually knew that they were popular,
it's
surreal and hilarious. That's why I love doing that on the Flippy Cup game. Here he is, Jared Stansbury, a stand-up performer in defeat, a tough defeat, here congratulating Ted Flynn. That was a very touching moment.
See, there you go. You got to talk to Tommy.
You impressed me with your maturity there. I'm not so sure Tommy will impress me with his maturity. But
he'll come off. He'll be puffing and puffing.
He'll impress me by being the great guy that we know he is, though.
There you go. All right, give me your I got to mention, I wrote a piece about Mike Warren. Mm-hmm. There will probably be more information about Mike Warren tomorrow.
Yep.
After we talk to Coach Ianni. But go check that out. It's up on the site right now.
Absolutely.
He's going to be a guy that went from having no expectations going into last season to pretty much the complete opposite into his sophomore year.
Yeah. Yeah. Behind a patchwork, mm-hmm, you might say, offensive line. But with a lot of guys that, hey, they have a chance to prove themselves coming up kind of from ground zero. And given Manning's success rate at Toledo before with the offensive line and Toledo's in general, and you know they've got some guys in there. I don't know. It's not boggles the mind, but maybe even a true freshman works his way onto the field there this year, which rarely happens.
Right.
But some nice pieces there still, too, but it's that depth and everything else that's got to work. But Warren did it in spite of a line that still gave up tons of sacks, which tells me most offensive lines that aren't that good can still pass block. It's the run blocking that's a struggle. Well,
I'd rather see a team.
I think Mike Warren did
people.
A lot of stuff on just by sheer talent last year, which isn't to say there weren't a lot of great line. You know, Jameson Locke was fantastic. Mm-hmm. A number of guys.
Will
you know,
he be a pro day?
He will.
Yeah.
He will. And his development was extremely impressive. But with guys injured, guys pulling in that line again was occasionally not that great. But Warren became a consistent performer throughout. So, yeah, definitely check out your story and. He'll be a big story throughout the spring and fall.
Give me your prediction for Friday.
For Friday. This is tough. I'm gonna predict. I guess I want to feel good a week from my birthday, so I'll have Virginia up 7 with about 2 minutes to go. Iowa State ties it, sends it to overtime. Iowa State wins 73-72 at the United Center.
There you go. Who do they play on Sunday?
It's so improbable, I'm just going to say Syracuse.
So are you telling me that next Monday we're going to be sitting right here talking about Iowa State going to the Final Four?
Maybe. Maybe someone will get hurt. You know, like, oh, I don't want to jinx it. Maybe. What's your pick?
I'm going to save
mine. You got him by 20, right?
No, I wouldn't say that. I'm going to save mine, though. I've got to be on a lot of more.
Oh, yeah.
I'm
going to
be on more
right.
podcasts this
that's
week.
Right.
So.
You're a popular guy.
Yeah, something like that.
You can pull it at some other time.
Yeah. So we're going to availability. You're going to have something from availability?
Yep. We'll have it up later today.
So check that out later this afternoon. Of course, we'll have all of our coverage from Chicago later in the week. Chris and I are heading out on Wednesday. So.
And you'll do the radio show?
Yeah, tonight. This is Monday from 6 to 7. We'll have the Cyclone Fanatic radio show on 1460 KXNO. So check that out. And then I think the Fawcast will be either tomorrow or Wednesday. So you'll have that to look forward to as well.
Excellent.
And some film rooms. 2 film rooms this week.
Whoa.
Yeah.
2 of them.
2 of them. Offense and defense.
Nice.
Sweet 16, we're stepping up the game.
All right. I'll enjoy it.
Thanks for listening, dudes.